investigative reporter Jim Heaney started looking into the request for proposals for the Buffalo Billion back in 2014. What he found was an unusual stipulation that a company had to have been doing business in Buffalo for at least 50 years to be considered. That stipulation only applied to one company. It was also the single clue that something was amiss when it came to the governor's signature economic development program in upstate New York. The story that began with this curious reporter ended yesterday with a 3.5-year prison sentence pending appeal for the man the governor once called New York's secret weapon, Dr. Alan Calleros. Jim Heaney, who is the founder, editor, and executive director of Investigative Post, joins us now to talk about what's transpired over the past few years and how he feels about the prison terms the parties involved received. Jim, welcome back. How are you?
It's always a pleasure.
So 4 years later and the Buffalo Billion story is a closed book. How do you feel about what's going on?
I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it.
Yeah, I'm on numerous fronts. The jail sentences handed down to Luce Simonelli and particularly Elaine Carlieros were really light. I wrote a blog post that's up on the website now last night, and I looked up federal sentencing guidelines just to compare what these guys got with normal everyday crime. If you rob a gas station, armed robbery of a gas station, mm-hmm. you're looking at a minimum of 5 to 10 years. You're minimum 5 years. If you get caught with 1 ounce of crack cocaine, minimum 5 years. But you can participate in bid rigging that potentially has cost the taxpayers of the state millions of dollars. You can violate the public trust. You can participate in arguably the biggest scandal New York State has seen in decades. And you get less than what some poor schmo gets nailed with for an ounce of crack.
And you're calling this rich man's justice.
Yeah, well, it's rich man's justice. You know, the judge is trying to make it appear that she's been tough on corruption. She hasn't been. I mean, you know, the deterrent comes not so much from the sentence, but from the public shaming, which is altogether independent of the sentencing. I'm disappointed about the slaps on the wrist these criminals received. I mean, these guys are felons.
So,
felons.
You know, there are people on both sides of the aisle who feel that, for example, Calleros was number one, either railroaded by a flimsy legal theory, or two, that he was a guy that had served, you know, five different governors and had done really well until the last one.
It's irrelevant. So if you commit a crime, that's what that's what's relevant. You know, what you did or didn't do in the past is not. It's just not relevant.
I think the feeling is somewhat mitigated here in Albany because of what has been attributed to him, the whole Nano school.
Well, you know, and if some poor black guy robs a gas station of $100 and he goes in front of the judge and tells the judge, you know, all the good things he's done in his life, you think the judge cuts him any slack?
No.
Okay. That's why this is a rich man's justice. This is people in the political system taking care of each other. So my first disappointment is these guys, from a strictly legal perspective, were treated very kindly, shall we say, by the courts.
And they're still, and I just want to add on that, that they get to stay free pending appeal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's another thing, yeah. You're convicted, but, exhaust your appeals. You know, and then we'll talk about sending you off to jail. So that's a disappointment. I'm disappointed in the U.S. Attorney's Office. Now there may be a good reason why they didn't take their investigation to its logical conclusion, but I haven't seen anything that suggests they had good reason to basically stop the investigation. I mean, they had Todd Howe. They had him cornered. He was a cooperating witness. Does anybody really think Andrew Cuomo knew nothing, played no role whatsoever?
Well, apparently they couldn't prove it, though, and that's the whole.
Well,
I mean, that's the whole Megillah right there.
Well, did they even pursue it? Did they even pursue it?
Well, that's something we'll probably never know.
Yeah, yeah. And the third thing is, you know, this huge scandal, you know, the state legislature still has not passed any meaningful anti-corruption legislation to try and clean up state contracting. So to me, the judge, the prosecutor, and the lawmakers have all fallen down in the job.
So I was going to ask you, you know, what's changed thanks to your reporting and what hasn't changed? And what hasn't changed is that the procurement process in Albany has not been reformed. And it also still takes a long time for you to hear back from the state when you submit a FOIL request. So
if you hear back.
if you hear back. So, I mean, you know, do you feel like it was all worth it just to put these guys in behind bars?
Well, I'm glad we did the reporting, and I'm glad that the U.S. Attorney's Office, when Preparo was in charge, did their job. But I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, didn't do theirs, and ultimately, you know, ultimately, not much has changed. Not much has changed. I do think that contractors and politicians are going to be a little bit more discreet over how they engage in pay-to-play.
Absolutely. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because that's certainly one of the byproducts of your investigation.
Yeah, I mean, is it going to stop it? No. Is it going to maybe reduce it? Well, hopefully. But, you know, given all the noise around this, when the dust is settled now, you know, not all that much has changed. A couple guys who are convicted of multiple felonies are going to jail for a little while. But again, you know, you'd be facing more time if you robbed your corner gas station of $100 with a gun.
So before I ask you about your latest stories, and there is a bunch more on your website, investigativepost.org, I wanted to, first of all, thank you for inviting me out to Buffalo last month. I had a great time. Your team is just young, energetic, and talented. And I wanted to ask you about David K. Johnson.
You know, David, told it like it is from his perspective on Donald Trump. We sold the room out. They actually turn people away because of the fire code. So, you know, David,
which is great, Pulitzer Prize winning reporter.
Yeah. Anybody who follows David's work on Trump, you know, knows where he stands. He is, suffice to say, he's not a fan. And we've got another Trump-related event coming up first Tuesday in February. We're showing Get Me Roger Stone, and the director will be there to talk to me in the audience about how he went about doing it and what he thinks of Roger Stone.
It's going to be, we have spoken with him, Morgan Pacma, and it's going to be a fascinating story. So yeah. You what are you working on now? What is this talented staff that you have, you know, created working on?
Well, I've actually been doing some reporting in between fundraising. I had a piece that ran about a week and a half ago.
Is this the OTB thing?
Yeah, the Western Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation, which is a public benefit corporation. It's kind of like an authority. I did some nosing around and discovered it's a 17-member board, a lot of political people on it, and they're required to attend board meetings 2 days a month. And
nice work
that,
if you can get it, right?
Yeah, and in exchange for that, they are eligible for gold-plated health, dental, and vision insurance, which, you know, between them all costs about $250,000 a year. And if they stick around long enough, 10 years, they get it for life. They retire and they continue to get it.
What I was surprised about is that the Attorney General actually said that this wasn't legal.
There was a ruling issued in 2008 at the request of one of the downstate OTBs that asked if we can do this, and the answer was absolutely not. the OTB people here in Western New York are claiming they knew nothing of this ruling, which I find hard to believe. And now they're going to ask the AG for a ruling specific to the Western OTB. Pretty indefensible. You know, not only the fact they're getting the benefit, but it. You know, I had a health insurance expert look at the plan. He said, this is the best money you can buy. I mean, $5 prescription card, $15 for routine office visits, routine dental work, no copay. Anybody listening to this interview on a radio somewhere, I can almost guarantee you that your health insurance is worse than what these guys and ladies get. And for your health insurance, you got to work 5 days a week, you know.
Not two days a month.
Yeah, they got to do it 2 days a month.
So, Jim, are these people paid by the taxpayers? Is that how the Western...
No, it comes out of their gambling proceeds. The OTB here runs a harness racing track. They run a casino, and they run the OTB parlors that are kind of, you know, dot the landscape throughout the state. But it is money, the money that they make goes to the different counties within their area. So this money that is that goes toward health, dental, and vision would otherwise be going to Erie County, Monroe County, City of Buffalo, City of Rochester, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So it's an indirect hit on taxpayers.
Finally, end of the year, typically a great time for nonprofits to ask for donations. And I understand that anyone who donates now will double their donation, thanks to Newsmatch, to your organization.
Yeah, we're in the home stretch, like probably every nonprofit in the state, if not the country. Our annual fundraising drive, any donation from an individual of up to $1,000 gets matched. So it's a way for people to basically double their money, and we could certainly use the support. I'm hoping to add reporters and you know, otherwise expand during the coming year. But that all takes money. As I like to tell people, in order to raise hell, I need to raise money.
Okay, that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah, rather direct, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
So, you know, so if you're listening to this and you value investigative reporting, you know, whip out the checkbook or go online, investigativepost.org /donate, and help out the cause.
Right. If you just go to investigativepost.org, there's a big banner that says, if you want to donate, click here. So it's not hard to find.
We're subtle. We're very subtle.
Well, obviously, from the head down, right? That's how the organization works. Just real quickly, you know, how is fundraising going? That we depend on organizations like this so much these days.
It's going well. I mean, people are responding, but you know, investigative reporting is not the easiest thing to fundraise for. It's not like the local, you know. Save abandoned animals.
Save the baby seals, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's not.
You're just not as cute as a baby seal, man. I mean, you just never will be.
Yeah, I'm not as cute as a lot of things. So, most people get what we do, and that makes some people run away, and it makes other people pull out a checkbook and say, "Go get them."
InvestigativePost.org is the place to go if you're somebody who says go get them. We've been talking with its founder, editor, and executive director, Jim Heaney. I want to thank you again. You have whiskers like a seal, but that's about it. Thank you.
Correct. All right. Thank you, Susan.
Capital Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.